Good morning. Welcome to the Sunday Morning Bible Baptist Hour program. We hope that it'll be a blessing to you in some way. We've been doing this for many, many, many years. Can't tell you how many. Somewhere after 1978, I think 78, 79, when we finally got on the station here. We've been here every Sunday since, and we hope that we've been a blessing to you and a help to you. Possibility that some of you have been listening that long. There is that possibility. I know we have had people tell us, yeah, I heard you the very first Sunday you was on, or I heard you about 2 weeks after you got on. And I hope we just didn't take up your time. We were a blessing and help to you. Service times at Bible Baptist Church, which, by the way, is on the east side of the road. When you come into town from the north or the south, there you are. And so, big white building in the middle of town. 9:45 for Sunday school, 11 o'clock for the morning service, and 6 o'clock for the evening service. Midweek is Thursday night at 7 o'clock. Youth time at 7 o'clock on Thursday night. And our teen time is on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. So if you're looking for a church, looking for somewhere to go, give us a try. We may not be what you're looking for. We're a Bible-believing, independent, King James church. And so if that's what you're looking for, that's what we are. And we'd love to have you come and at least give us a visit. Let us know that you're out there. Final message of this message called Some Man. Missions Medley will be our song today. It's called by Jimmy Walker. A family used to be in Toledo, but I don't know where they're at now. But anyways, they sing this song for them. I hope that you enjoy it. So again, it's called Mission Medley. So be a combination of several different songs, all right? Anyways, after that's over, of course, into the third part, the last part of this message, Some Man. We hope it's been a blessing and a help to you up to this point, and that it will be today as well. Listen closely to our announcer. Get the address information. Drop us a note. Let us know that you're out there. Thank you for listening.
Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in vanity from sin and the grave. Weep for the erring one, lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. We've a Savior to show to the nations, who the path of sorrow had trod, that all who are searching for freedom might come to the truth of God.
Work for the night is coming. In Yorkshire, England, during the early 1800s, two sons were born to a family named Taylor. The older one set out to make a name for himself and by entering Parliament and gaining public prestige, but the younger son chose to give his life to Christ. He later recalled, "Well, do I remember as in unreserved consecration, I put myself, my life, my friends, my all upon the altar. I felt I was in the presence of God, entering the covenant with the Almighty." With that commitment, Hudson Taylor turned his face toward China and obscurity. As a result, he is known and honored on every continent as a faithful missionary and the founder of the China Inland Mission, Overseas Missionary Fellowship, now as it's known as. For the other son, however, there is no lasting monument. When you look in the encyclopedia to see the other son and what he's done, you find these words, "the brother of Hudson Taylor." I'm just telling you, you can't lose. You may lose prestige, you may lose money, you may lose a lot of things on this earth, but you can't lose with God. Then turn to Mark 11. Mark 11 and verse 22. "And Jesus answered and saith unto them," Peter and these gentlemen, "have faith in God." Let me tell you that some man must have faith. Now, let me remind you that some is equated to every man. We all need faith. But can I say that in this room today, there are those who have more faith than others? Oh, no, not because you're better than they are, but because you've had to exercise your faith, and therefore you've learned you can do some things. Huh? You've learned by exercising your faith that you can have faith. You can trust God. Faith is not in your job. It's not in your retirement. It's not in your means for making a living. It's not in some source of riches, but it's in God. What happens is that we begin to place this faith in something physical, tangible. We can touch it. We have faith in it. But faith has to be placed in something you can't see. What is that? That's God. I can't see God. You can't see God. Nobody's really seen God. We've had some reports that they did. But usually that's drugs or something. But if you're going to do anything for God, some man must have faith. If we're going to do anything for God, church, then this church, you and I are going to have to practice faith in God. When I was in college, Bible Institute, Dr. Upman said this: "No church needs to be supported by a millionaire." And he said, "I'm going to tell you why." He said, "Because if you have a missionary funding your church, your people don't learn to trust God to get faith in the man with the money." No, he said, "I didn't say you, millionaire was wrong." He said, "But you don't need to trust somebody in your church who's got lots of money. What you need to do is trust your entire congregation that God will use them to supply the means to do what it is you've got to do." Romans 4. Romans 4, and look at verse 12. "And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only." Let me go back here. We probably better start reading verse 11. "And he received the sign of circumcision," who did? Abraham. "A seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had yet being uncircumcised." You say, "Preacher, what does that have to do with anything?" Didn't you see those little words in there? Walk in the steps of that faith. Do you know why we have what we have today and believe like we believe? Because back there, 4,000 years ago, a man walked by faith, stepped into faith. God says, "Abraham, I'm going to give you a family like the stars." Abraham said, "Amen. Okay, Lord." And you know what happens when you trust God that you can do great things for God? You know what you do? You look out there and you see the immensity of what has to be done, and you realize you are almost 100 years old. How are you going to do that? But you say, whatever you say, Lord, that's okay. We'll do it. And so you walk in the steps of the faith that Abraham made the testimony of. Say, what are you trying to say, preacher? Look back here in verse 5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Amen. One day a woman was rushing home from the doctor's appointment, and the doctor had been somewhat delayed at the hospital, and the lab work took a little longer than usual. You know the story. So by the time she left the clinic, she was running a bit behind schedule. She still had to pick up her prescriptions and pick up the children from the babysitter and get home and make supper and all that time, make it to prayer meeting at church, which some of you wouldn't do, but she did. As she began to circle the busy Walmart parking lot, looking for a space, the windows of heaven were open, as it says in Genesis, and a downpour came. While she wasn't usually the type to bother God with such small problems, she began to pray as she turned down the row closest to the front door, the one I always go to. Lord, you know what kind of a day I've had. There's still an awful lot to do. Could you please grant me a parking space right away and, oh, close to the building so I don't get soaked? The words were not even completely out of her mouth when she saw the backup lights of a car coming at the end of the row, backing out the end of the row. It was the best space in the whole parking lot, right next to the handicapped spots. And straight out from the front door, she made straight for it, and as she pulled in, she said, never mind, God, something else opened up. You got the point, right? She prayed for it, but she didn't have faith enough to believe that it would actually happen. And when it did happen, she said, never mind, Lord. Let me show you the classic, Matthew 9. Matthew 9. Matthew 9, verse 2. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing whose faith? Not his faith? See, some man must have faith. You know what that requires? That requires that you and I have faith, that faith might be seen by somebody else. Let me tell you something. Somebody told me, and I'm not going to give any details. I'm not trying to pat anybody on the back and make anybody up. But somebody called me and they said, preacher, you won't believe what happened. And of course, you know, at that point, I don't know if I'd believe anything at that point. Said, we gave X amount to such and such a deal. And he said, you know what? He said, I got back 95% of what I had given to that project in my income tax. Say, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say, why don't you try to get that kind of interest at the bank? Huh? Why don't you try to get yourself a CD or some kind of a IRA, IRS, IRP, IRX? Try to get you some program where you're going to get a 95% return on the money you've invested. You give the bank your money and they'll put it in an account and give you a 0.5% interest a month while they're making a big killing on the money they're loaning out to somebody else, your money. Yep. But you can put it in God's bank, and God says, I should give you 95% back. I'll have to give you a little extra. Should only give you 90, but hey. See, what are you saying? I'm saying some man must have faith. From time to time, you step out on the balcony and you say, Lord, I'm trusting you. Here we go. Some man must have faith. When they brought that man in there, the Lord looked at that man, and then he looked at those friends, and he said, son, be of good cheer. Thy sins are forgiven. Healed. Rise up, take your bed. But the Bible says he saw their faith. They had faith enough to bring that man to the Lord. He healed the man on their faith. Try that one out, faith healers. See, sometimes you and I have to exercise faith that others might see it does work. Matthew 6. And look at verse 3:16. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their face, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which is seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Now, without a lot of explanation about what's going on here, let me say this. Some man must fast. You need to learn here that fasting is something done between you and God. It's okay that somebody else knows you're fasting, but don't go around telling everybody, I'm fasting for Jesus. I'm just going without food this week. And I just want to do it. No. Sometimes in our home when that happens, you know, mom sat down at the table or something, she's not going to eat, and I'll say, you're fasting? Yeah. That's all right. She's not going around boasting about it. You know, some people say, well, if somebody knows, I guess I'm not fasting now. It's not what he's saying. He's saying, don't be like the hypocrites. They get a sad face and they get the long face so that you'll realize they're suffering for Jesus. It's not what you're doing that for. Don't act like you're suffering for Jesus. Most of us do very little of that. I'm not going to turn there, but you know, in 2 Samuel 12, you remember when David had sinned, and you remember that the baby was, the Lord said, I'm going to take the baby. And David was on his face in the dirt and he wouldn't eat. And the Bible said he fasted. Now, it never really dawned on me until I was doing this study here. Think about that. Think about that, Brother Field. He had done wrong, but he was fasting, hoping the Lord would take his fast. Just, listen, even if you've done wrong, maybe it's a good idea to fast. Do you understand what I'm saying? It won't hurt you to fast. Might help you. Esther, remember Esther? She picked a three-day period to fast. She says, go and have them fast for 3 days. She picked a time. Cornelius in Acts 10. I'm not going to look these up. Cornelius in Acts 10. The Bible said 4 days. And let me tell you, friend, that was an unsaved man. That was an unsaved man who fasted 4 days that he might get God to bring him somebody to tell him the truth about salvation. And to think that some of us in this room won't fast once in a while for something that's necessary. We're saved and on our way to heaven and got the blessing of God. We won't fast. And I was telling the men at prayer time, I said, I really, really got under conviction when I heard about that deal up there in New York. You know, they were going to, no churches could use public buildings anymore for their services. Everybody else could, but, and according to equal rights and all that kind of stuff, they have to let you do it. And so this preacher, and I went on the web and checked him out. I don't think he's a Bible believer like we are, but nothing on the site indicated he wasn't. Now they do have a dance worship service, and I was kind of thinking maybe you girls should go look it up for me and kind of, you know, lead people into worship through dance. You don't look excited at all about that. Maybe you'd be excited about that. This guy's name is William Devlin. He's 42-day water-only fast that God would change the heart of Mayor Bloomberg and Chancellor Walcott. And you know what? He did. He did. I'm not going to read the whole article here to you. But God changed their, softened their heart, and they backed down on what they said, and they're reconsidering it. This man, it didn't affect this man. He runs up a church of about 500. They feed over 1,000 meals a year to people. They got a school. They got all kinds of ministry. This didn't affect him. It wasn't something, Dan, it was even going to affect him. But he went on a fast because he did not want to see other ministries hurt. And he wanted to see God change the heart of somebody. Sometimes the fast doesn't have to affect you as much as affect somebody else. Although, can I say this? It probably would affect him down the road somewhere. Some man have to fast. And then look at Luke 10. Luke 10, verse 2. Therefore he said unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Some man must pray. Are you praying consistently that the Lord will send laborers into the world? Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 about praying for others. And he said in verse 25, brethren, pray for us. Are you praying? I know some of you do, but are you praying daily for the missionaries? Got a missionary prayer list? We try to publish something out here so you can pray for the missionaries daily. Do you pray for the church workers? Do you pray for the Sunday school teachers? Do you pray for the song leader? Do you pray for the pianist? Do you pray for those involved in the works, Lord? The works, Lord? Yeah. Okay, try a little dyslexia on that one. Look at 2 Thessalonians 3. Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of God may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. Do you pray that the messages and the tracts and the visitation and whatever other means have been used by missionaries in your church, will you pray that it'll go forth for free course and not be affected and stopped? I'm afraid that maybe we don't pray like we should anymore. Now I lay me down to sleep, pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, hope I have some icing on my cake or something like that. And I'm sure you know this, but let me read it to you. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplication, prayers, intercessions, and the giving of thanks be made for all men. Are you praying for those requests the missionaries make? Pray for Bobby somebody, Sherry somebody. We've had a chance to witness to them. They come from a drunken household, abused household. Pray for them, they'll get saved. Do you try to make some kind of a way to pray for them, Lord? Not just, Lord, help all the missionaries today. Don't you think the Lord's a little bit more personal than all of them? Don't you think he knows you personally? Some man. Are you going to be among the some man? Father, help us today, I pray. Lord, as we begin this mission month, I pray that our hearts will be turned in a manner.
Thank you for listening to the Bible Baptist Hour. It is our prayer that our message today will be helpful to your growth as a saved person. If you are not saved, you can be saved today by asking Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins. Let us know you listen by writing to the Bible Baptist Hour, 3338 Main Street, Lupton, Michigan, 48635. Join us again next week for a new message.